Welcome to the 7 Laws of the Learner video series. We're currently in Law 3, the Law of Application. And now, here to tell you more about the Law of Application is our teacher, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson.
Never forget preaching at a huge church in another state. And afterwards, there were a lot of people talking. And there was one man pacing back and forth against a wall by himself, and he was obviously upset. And he waited till everybody left, and then he came over and he said, I need to talk to you. You're not from around here, so I'm going to tell you something. He said, I have some very bad news. I said, well, sir, what's that? He says, I'm in the midst of getting a divorce. I said, well, sir, that is very bad news. He said, I have something worse than that. I said, I doubt it. What is that? He says, I'm an elder in this church, a deacon. I said, sir, you can't be a deacon and go through a divorce. If you're going to go through a divorce, get off the deacon board. Or get your life together and stay on the deacon board. As far as God's will for you, get your act together. We began to talk. He says, well, there's something worse than that. Well, what is that? He said, I'm not the only deacon in this church that's getting a divorce. I said, you're kidding. What? He said, 9 deacons in the last 3 years from this church have had a divorce. I said, let me ask you 2 questions. And if you understand the law, you could perceive the questions and the answers. I said, then when's the last time your pastor preached on marriage and marital fidelity? What did he say? Never. That's right. He said, never. I said, I know. So let me ask you the 2nd question. What's going on in your pastor's personal life in his own marriage that is sin? I'll never forget the look on his face. Who told you? I said, you did. I did not. I promised I would tell no one. I said, you just told me. He said, how did I tell you? You told me 8 deacons got a divorce. And you're the 9th. When the people run wild, it's because the truth hasn't been preached. The people don't run wild when they don't run wild. And the reason why that pastor couldn't speak the truth is because he was living in sin himself. My friends, that pastor is going to be so severely accountable to Almighty God from withholding the life that comes from preaching the word. His sin will hit families, children, you know as well as I do, grandchildren, and all falls back to the word not being preached. Now, how do you do this? How does it work? How do you take something that is content and bring it to the point that's an application? What is application? Well, if you've ever cut your hand, you took out of a box. Thank you, a Band-Aid. And you open it, and what do you do with it? You apply it. You put it on. Therefore, when you're taking the truth, and your goal is to put it on the person, so that they change. That's the mindset we want to change here tonight. They change. Do we need change? A lot of it. A lot of it. And we haven't been changing. The reason we haven't been changing isn't that the Spirit's not trying to change us. It isn't that the truth isn't powerful enough to change us. It's that we don't have the mindset to go for change. How do you do this? Let's see if I can't give you a 5-step approach about how to do this. In the top left-hand box, put down the word teacher. Teacher. In the right-hand box, the word student. And the arrow in the middle there, that yellow arrow, is what we typically do. What do we typically do? 90% content. What we're going to try and do is pull back that content and give you a 5-step approach to this. Number 1,
Number one is passage. The passage. This is where you come and you explain what the Bible says. Or whatever subject you're talking about, you explain it. This is where you give the content. At the end of this time, at the end of this time, which should take, draw a line right between box one and box two, this should be no more than 50%. No more than 50% on the average. The person you're teaching should say to themselves, and you should recognize it in their body language, I understand what it says. I understand it. I understand it. You've explained it to me. I got it. Now, the next four steps aren't used by many people. In fact, the further we go down that row, the less and less of you are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Number two. This is the word principle. Principle. This is where you come to the passage and you pick out just one principle that you're going to take out of that passage and you're going to expand it by bringing other verses to bear to prove the point until the person is convinced that that indeed is what the Bible teaches. Unfortunately, we think the best way to bring about life change is to shoot a shotgun at the audience. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we take, for instance, this verse here, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what we typically do is we talk a little bit about everything. You give a little bit of application about the fact that it's all scriptures and that how God gave it and what inspiration means and how it's profitable and what is doctrine and how does reproof work and who does it and when do you do it and why do you do it and what correction is and instruction in righteousness and the man of God and how you become a man of God and you preach an evangelistic message and then it's complete and thoroughly equipped and how is equipped and what's a good work and how do you do it. Go on and on and on. Here's a little bit, there's a little bit, and there's no change. Do the exact opposite. Take a look at this passage and pick out the most important principle for your audience and hit that nail on the head over and over and over and over and over. What did I pick out of here? I picked out the concept that said Scripture's given for the purpose of life change. And hopefully I hit that nail on the head so many times that you became convinced that that was true. And that this came from this verse, that I didn't make it up out of my head. Life change, my friend, takes place when you pick one principle every time you talk. That's it. One principle. Now, everything in you is going to say, that's not enough. Fight that tendency in your heart and say, it is enough. One big idea. One thing you're driving at, one thing you're bringing all the scripture together, the illustrations together to prove this point. Scripture's given for life change. Now, up to that point, you've been dealing with the person's mind. Mind in the first box, mind in the second box. And to be quite honest with you, at this point, if you end your sermon here or your class or your talk, there's not going to be much life change. This does not bring about life change. This brings about understanding. Romans doesn't go chapters 1 to 11 with a period. It goes 1 to 11 and then all what you're supposed to do. Basis, behavior. Now at this point, what has to happen is that principle has to become mine as a member of the audience. That is, when I start teaching, and I go through a passage, you ought to be saying, I understand that. Good. Then I pick one thing out of that, and I begin to hammer it until you're saying, yeah, I got it. The Bible does teach that. Now, at that point, there's no change. What has to happen is something very delicate and a bit awkward to talk about. Now, what has to happen is that idea has to come right on down until it settles on the audience and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, convicts the audience about the truth. And when the Holy Spirit moves an audience, you watch it. You see it come And if you learn to cooperate with the Spirit, you can see Him starting to work. And then if you know how to cooperate, you'll get out of the way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to communicate to the audience in ways I don't know how to describe. I don't have words for it. Holy Spirit doesn't say words to us, typically, but His presence is experienced. You know what I'm talking about? Now, how do you get out of the way? This is delicate. Be quiet. Give pauses. Every pause you have, the Spirit can communicate. When the Spirit moves, you could hear a pin drop on a rug. Nobody moves, nobody coughs, nobody sneezes, nobody moves. Why? The Spirit controls the audience. Lord Nakhnisi Rakeda, He is in control. And then when He's done, that is, the conviction doesn't take a long time. Conviction comes, and then you'll see, if you watch, and you relax in your own heart, and you realize you're not in control. You're not in control. He is in control. And you notice the group starts fidgeting again. They just start moving again. That's your clue. He's done. Now it's my turn again. You almost prepare Him. Let Him be king. Decrease. Get out of the way. Get out of the spotlight. Change your voice. Be quiet. Quiet. The third box is called personalize. I don't know of 1 in 100 teachers who do this. Personalize. Second one is encourage. Change your whole delivery. What's supposed to happen in box number 3 is that the audience becomes convicted. And is there not light years of a difference between being convicted and being manipulated? I've been manipulated sitting in audiences by preachers and teachers. They're trying to do this through guilt or manipulation or powerful yelling. It's the exact opposite. The voice of the Lord is heard in quietness and stillness. Please understand. There is nothing like cooperating with Almighty God. You're not the truth. You don't have the truth. This is the truth. And if you teach the truth like you can teach it, and then get out of the way, the Spirit will bring about conviction. But conviction doesn't bring about change. It prepares for change. That's why there's a number of denominations which know how box 3 works. But everybody leaves having an emotional experience, but they're not changed. Point isn't they understand it. Point isn't that they felt the Spirit. The point is, were they changed? That's box 4. And that's the word persuade. Persuade. This is where you must come back into leadership in your class. This is where your voice changes and you exhort. You exhort. This is where you're pulling about a commitment. A commitment. Now, depending upon what you're talking about and the audience, you want to bring about change. Bring about change. Sometimes you just ask for it. That is, you say to your audience, I sense that this has touched you. How many of you sense that you need to do this? And then just see what happens. And then you need to come around until you ask the person, Richard, are you going to do this? Are you going to give at least 50% application? Did I ask you in part 1? Did I or didn't I? Yes. And did I end it with you assenting it to me, or did I bring you so you had to tell him? You told him. point isn't you obey me. Who am I? I'm nobody. He is everybody. Bring them back up, get out of the way, and then get them to do it. Now, sometimes you got to get after them in a good way. Don't you ever get after your kids? Sometimes you get after them. If they need to be rebuked, then do it. If they need to be loved, love them. If they need to cry together, help them cry. But whatever they need to do it, you do it. You serve them. You get out of the way, and then you do it. All right, box number 5. That ends, then, that class. That's 50% of the time, then, you're applying it to them. Class ends. Box number 5 is next week. Box number 5 is next week. I used to wonder when, earlier in my ministry, how come God moved this time and he didn't some other time? I never knew. I just decided it's not for me to know. It is for me to know. Number 5, perform. That is, next week you want to find out, did they do it? This is where you want to evaluate. And the climax of it all, the crown of it all, were they changed? Did they do it? So if I saw you next week, here's what I would say to you. How many of you taught at least one class? Raise your hand. And then you would raise your hand. And then I would say, how many of you who taught gave it at least 50% application? Raise your other hand. And if at least 70% of the people's hands both weren't up, I would scrap my whole lesson. Listen to me. I'd scrap the whole lesson and I'd go back to work. Why? Listen to me. We are so messed up in our thinking. The point of it all isn't to give a new lesson. The point of it all is not to give a new lesson. The point is, did you change? If they're not changing, then why are you leaving it? Go right on back to it. Well, they'll be bored. No, they won't. Learn how to review it and say it in different ways. And in our resource guide, we give you all kinds of ways to approach the same truth. If they're not doing it, you haven't caused them to hear. So tell them again and ask for a commitment. Don't ever give in to not going for life change again. Every time, what's the change I'm aiming for? Sometimes you just have to ask for it. Sometimes it's sweet and it's gentle, isn't it? And other times you hit stubbornness. Well, go after it. Don't give up on them. Now, let's see if we can give you a couple tips as we wrap up this session. Number 1, what happens if you're saying here, you're sitting here and yourself, whoa, this is interesting, but I don't know how to do this. What should you do? Number 1, here's a tip for you. Ask God to develop in you an applier's heart. Many of us have content hearts. True? So what do? You ask God to give it to you. Does he want you to have it? Yes. So ask for it. Ask for it. I'll never forget a preacher at a conference came up to me. He was ticked when he heard all this stuff. And he flew back to California where he was pastoring. And he had his secretary type out last week's sermon. And he got the yellow and orange magic marker. He did it. 92% content. So he calls me on the phone. And he says, "Now I'm 92%. What should I do?" I said, "Stop sinning." So what do you mean, stop sinning? I says, "Well, now you know you shouldn't be doing it. And for him to know it and still do it is a sin." "What should I do?" I said, "Well, how long do you preach?" He said, "I preach for 40 minutes. What should I do?" I said, "Well, the first 20 minutes, give content. The second 20 minutes, give application. Can you do that?" "Oh, sure." "So call me back next Monday." Why? Box 5. Did he do it? Don't tell him. Did he do it? That's the point. This is the point. Not telling him. Did he do it? Change your head. Did he do it? Monday calls up. I said to him, "How did it go?" And he said, "Interesting." I said, "Tell me, what do you mean by interesting?" He said, "Well, the first 20 minutes went great." I said, "What happened in the next 20 minutes?" He said, I didn't know what to say. So we ended 11:45. He said, that's the first time in the church's 120-year history we got out 11:45. I said, Pastor, in other words, you couldn't think about an application? He said, no, I really couldn't. I just don't know how to do that stuff. I said, Pastor, if you had trouble getting an application, just think about how hard it was for your people all these years. Amen. Yes. We're not changing because those of us who are called by God to teach aren't preaching for change and teaching for change. So he said, what should I do? And I gave him a lot of suggestions. I said, first thing you do down, pastors, when we hang up, get on your knees and ask God to do something in your heart that's a work of God. Break your heart over this. Number two, not only ask God for an applier's heart, but secondly, prepare applications in relationship to your students' needs. We have a whole law on this, and it's absolutely amazing how Jesus Christ did this. And we'll teach you how to do that in the law of need. Next, plan all parts of the lesson to contribute to the application. Star that one. What's the point of your teaching? Answer, the life change. How does the life change take place? Look up here. Life change takes place by teaching the truth, applying it, watching the Spirit move in that, and then checking and see how it's going. Okay? If that's the target, then everything you're talking about hits the target. Whew. Plan all parts to hit the target. Therefore, don't make your lesson and say, now what's my application? Make your application from the text and then plan all parts to hit it. Next. Lead your students beyond general applications to specific steps of obedience. There's a real tendency of people to make a mistake here. Your job is to give the principle, the text, the passage, the principle, the Spirit moves. Now, when the Spirit moves, He wants to move in an individual way and differently to Roger, Mrs. Williams, every person he wants to deal with differently. Don't fall in the trap of telling these 10 ways to do it. You're playing the role of the Holy Spirit when you do that. Give this one as an illustration so people are saying, oh, that's what it looks like. And give this illustration, oh, that's what it looks like. Oh, now I understand what you're talking about and what it looks like. Then let the Spirit do that. Don't give it. Here's the 10 things you're supposed to do. If God wanted the 10 things, He'd have put in here. So don't you play God. Give it general principles, but listen to me now. Lead your class so they get the specifics. Don't tell them, lead them. What's the Lord saying to you about this? What's He want you to do? Trust God. He'll tell them. Just ask the question. Next, illustrate the application with scripture, history, personal experience, and the, believe it or not, imagination. Applications come alive when you illustrate them. You show them in a picture. And in our resource guide, we teach you how to get illustrations, where to find them, what makes a good one, how do you find them in your own life, how do you know where to use them and when to use them. It's beyond what we can talk about in this course, but it's all in the resource guide. Next, employ an appropriate style when calling for commitment. If you got to rebuke someone or the audience, then go rebuke them. If they're just tender, then do it gently. And S, strengthen applications with student accountability. Have them committed to themselves. Have the audience break into groups of two and let them share with each other what they're going to do. Have them write you a note. Have them pray to God. There's a whole lot of different ways to get accountability to take place. You know, there's a verse, don't close your notebook, just leave it right there while I close with an illustration. There's a verse that when churches go through building programs, they oftentimes use on a white banner in front of the church with red letters. And the verse is, without a blank, the people blank. What's the verse? Yeah. Without a vision, the people perish. And what we mean by that is, without a dream, the people kind of get apathetic. And without a goal, like a building program, we don't really do what we should be doing. Well, the problem is, the verse has nothing to do with that. When it says without a vision, the word there never in the Hebrew language means a dream or a goal or a program. The word vision is the same Hebrew word in your Bible when it says, and this is the vision of Isaiah the prophet. The vision is the direct revelation from God. This is the vision today. Without a vision, without the scriptures, the people perish. That Hebrew word perish is amazing. It does not mean die. It doesn't mean to lose heart. It has something totally different in its meaning. It's only used a few times in the Bible. The clearest time to help you and I understand it tonight is when Moses was up on top of Mount Sinai getting the commandments. God said, you better go back down, because at the base of the mountain, what are the people doing? They're filled with immorality, idolatry. They're running wild. They're filled with nakedness. All those words are trying to interpret the word perish. That verse literally says, friends, without the scriptures, rightfully taught, the people run wild. Now, are we finding the people running wild or not? Well, yes, they are. They're running wild because the scriptures not being taught for life change. Instead, it's being taught for content. Jesus said it best in Matthew 28 when he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now watch it. Watch it. Teaching them the information. Is that what it says? No, it says teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now look at that. Teaching them to do it, to do everything that I've commanded you. Teach so they do it. Don't teach so they know it. The second you and I start teaching it for life change, it has power, and it brings about holiness and sanctifications and marriages that go back together again and kids that get their lives together. It's amazing. No, it's not amazing. It's supernatural. Think about the people you teach. Think about your children at home. Have you been bringing about life change in their lives? Or are there some people out there who are running wild because the person God has put as their teacher is withholding the power of Almighty God by not teaching it for life change? If this is you, may you sense the utter responsibility. May your heart, as mine, cry out for Almighty God to use you when you teach His Word in such a way that it really changes lives. If that really captures your heart, then right now it's time for you to make a commitment. I'm going to ask you at the bottom of your page where it says, I commit to apply for life change. Then if you agree to that, then write your initials and date it right now and start a new beginning in your teaching. Go ahead. Never pick up the Bible and mess around with it ever again. Teach it and preach it every time for life change. And your people and your children and your class will rise up and call you blessed. And the generation to come will be a generation for God. Well, I want to thank you for participating in this series with us. Teaching is a wonderful honor that carries with it great responsibility. I thank God that there are people like you who are willing to take on that challenge day by day, week after week, year after year, faithfully serving. May God bless you as you teach for life change.